Guys, look at us. What's happened to us? 5 days on a Sprout diet with a wallpaper and video on a crochet magazine. We've all turned into crazies.
Well, just don't call me Tetchy and don't blow your nose.
Don't play that video and don't correct me.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. We're gonna get through this.
And don't say we're gonna get through this. Stupid, chirpy optimism, that inane, winsome grin.
This is insane. We've been here 5 days. There's no sign of any virus. We're clean.
That's it. 5 days. We've got him. Space Corps Directive 699. We can demand a re-screening.
He'll refuse.
He can't. He's playing it by the book. We've nailed him.
Gentlemen, your conversation makes interesting listening.
Rumor, is that you?
Oh, yes.
How long have you been listening?
2, maybe 3 hours.
Well, no one's got any disease, man. We're clean.
You have to rescreen us, sir, as per Directive 699.
No one's got any virus and no one's smegging nuts.
Objective Secure podcast. My name's Mike.
Hi, I'm Emma.
This is episode 65, Quarantine. Where
you just thought if you said it with some sort of pizzazz, it would make it sound so much more exciting.
For those of you who recognise the clip in the intro, it's actually from...
I haven't heard the clip.
No. it's from the episode called Quarantine from Red Dwarf.
Ah, okay.
And at the very end of it, the cat turns around and Rimmer says to him, "Oh, cat, well, I don't know what happened. Where am I?" And he goes, "Quarantine." So... I was trying to channel my inner cat for that little opener.
Right.
Didn't work, really. But, I don't know. It's always nice putting Red Dwarf in. It always makes me smile. I've been trying to figure out how to use the meeting segment from one of the other episodes, which turns the name of a alien hunting... Oh, I know when I'm going to use that episode. I'm going to stop now, because I've just figured out when I can use that that introduction. So I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Which actually ties into some of the news and stuff that we're going to talk about in a second.
Have we got news?
Yeah. I've got the 2 Warhammer previews here in front of me. And they just published the White Dwarf preview for issue 453, which is what's triggered that other recording from Red Dwarf. So, yeah, we are going to be talking about some of the... I suppose it's a heavier topic in this episode. And we are aware that there are members of our community who listen to this who might... There are some delicate issues around mental health that we're going to talk about.
Well, yeah, okay.
So...
I don't think we're going to go into mental health stuff too much, really.
No, but I mean, if you're listening to this, at the, you know, when it's released, then there's a very good chance you're probably in lockdown somewhere. Mm. And so
or
we thought,
if it's not being called lockdown, that's effectively what it is.
Yeah. So it's a good opportunity for us to talk about how you can look after yourself a bit. And how we can integrate hobby into that process.
Hmm.
So we're going to talk about that in the main topic. But in the meantime, there are 4 pieces of news I want to cover.
Okay.
The first is Astartes Part 5 was released recently on YouTube. It's the longest one he's done so far. It's about 7 minutes, I think, the video in total.
Mm-hmm.
And I've already seen, you've probably seen it if you're on Facebook at all, the meme of the 2 Space Marine, the Lieutenant and the Captain, and the Psyker who gets possessed and the Captain punches his head off and then the Lieutenant shoots the body, and it's pretty gruesome. Mm. It's got rave reviews all over the internet, and for a one-man band doing it by himself, it's an amazing piece of art over the 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed Games Workshop haven't come knocking yet. Particularly since he doubled his patron count overnight with the release of that episode, from what I can gather. So, really worth going and checking it out. There'll be a link in the show notes for you to go and watch if you haven't already. We talked about episode 4 when it came out last year. and then he lost his channel. And
I had to go through a whole heap of different rigmarole.
So it's awesome to see it back up and running. If you haven't checked it out, go and check it out. It's called Astartes on YouTube. Moving straight on from that to the official stuff, mm-hmm. we now have Death's Hand, Hammer and Bolter has been previewed in the first ever Warhammer preview, which is kind of a cel-shaded animation style, I suppose is the best way to describe it. The preview's got a Calidus Assassin, and Death's Hand's part of an animated anthology series called Hammer and Bolter. So it was really cool to see that come out recently. We've also had the release of the new Lumineth in the preview one,
mm-hmm.
Which basically killed any enthusiasm I have for the army for Age of Sigmar, which was really frustrating for me because they released the previews for the mountain aspect of the Lumineth from the Land of Hish. And the I'm not the only one who's been polarized by these models. Let's put it that way. The centerpiece model is the Avalenor, the Stoneheart King. And there's a variant you can build of that, which is Alarith, Spirit of the Mountain. And they're basically, they're very big models. They look easily the size of, they're bigger than a Wraith Lord would be my guess. I don't know whether they're Wraith Knight sized or whether they're Imperial Knight sized. But they're basically giant half stone, half cow monsters. And they have big round mallets. And they just go against everything I wanted to see from the elf range.
Aww. And then, you were looking forward to them.
Yep, and the Stone Guard aren't bad. I don't mind them. They've got the same sort of style of hammer, but unfortunately their helmets are just, well, even more ridiculous than most elf helmets usually are.
Mm.
So I know that my opinion is my opinion, and I know that there's plenty of people out there who love these miniatures. For me, this was, I'm hoping that, because there's four aspects mentioned in the Lumineth, so it's kind of like the earth, fire, wind and water type deal. And I'm really hoping that this is the first of those four, and they're going to go, hey, by the way, if you don't want to run, because at the moment we've only seen three units in the core, the archers, the spearmen and the cavalry, and then we've seen the hammer, the what do you call them, I've just said their name, the Stone Guard, and now we've seen the big cow monsters. I know they're probably meant to be yaks or something, like mountainy cattle things, but they're cattle of some description.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that when they go to the fire or the dragon, like I'm hoping we get a dragony thing, and that I can just ignore this part of the range and do something else. Although I will admit I was looking at parts of this kit going, oh, you know, if there's parts of this that are armor panels that are separate, then they might be really cool for converting a Wraith Knight or a Wraith Lord, putting extra armor and like really detailed panels on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also assuming this kit's going to be $100+ Australian dollars. Yeah. So it might be a bit of an expensive conversion piece to do that with.
Mm.
So that was a really frustrating release for me because I saw them and went, oh.
All that anticipation.
Yeah. So I'm, like I say, that we haven't seen the whole range yet. And I'm still hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll get there, I guess. We also had a Middle Earth release in AMR, Marshal of the Riddermark. And what's really interesting about this kit, first of all, it's a plastic character for Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, they've given you a whole host of variable pieces so that, because in Lord of the Rings, you can actually lose the horse out from under the rider and the character can keep moving around. So the horse version comes with AMR with a helmet, without a helmet, and then with a spear or a sword, and there's a shield that you can add to the barding on the horse as well with optional barding. And then the foot version, he can be helmetless or helmeted with a spear or with a sword and with a shield or not. It's actually possible also to give him two helmets.
Okay.
Because you can put the helmet under one arm and then still use the helmeted head. So you could go two helmets.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure why you would, unless the helmet underneath his arm, he, you know, he's got somebody else's head inside it that he's stolen from some sort of...
No, it's definitely his helmet. He's got a fairly unique style of helmet.
Right. Then definitely not sure why you would.
So if you're interested in a very helmeted AMR, you can do that. I'm really impressed, though, that it is plastic and multi-part because I didn't think I'd see either of those things for Lord of the Rings or the Middle-earth game. It's it shows they're committed to continuing the game, which is really exciting for the community. We also had a preview of the new Fabius Bile for War of the Spider, which is one of the new Psychic Awakening books that's coming up. The model is fantastic. It's basically just an update to 8th edition scale and style of the original, I want to say it's 2nd edition. That Fabius Bile might actually be 2nd edition, that model. And he's the last of the main four that came out around the same time, which was Abaddon Khan, Araman, and Fabius. Mm-hmm. They were the four, so it's good to see him finally getting an update. Model looks fantastic. He's also now got a helper that wanders around with him, collecting bits of corpses. So yeah, that was nice to see. And the last thing we saw from Preview 1 was the Horus Heresy release of the Lion, or Lionel Johnson, which is my favourite Primarch model to date, hands down, no questions asked. It's absolutely glorious. It's my favourite Legion. And the fact that he's the first one to come with an alternate head. So he's got a helmeted version and an unhelmeted version, and he's also got an alternate weapon, so you can wield him depending on where you're fielding him in the Heresy. So I know there's plenty of people who have already done the math hammer to say this is the weapon you should use, but I'd build it with the cool big greatsword because it looks the coolest. Mainly because I just don't see a chainsword being a Primarch weapon. So, you know, that's just me though. And that's the beauty of that, is you can build it how you want it. You've got two different options there. So we got all that in Preview 1, which was about a week and a half ago at time of recording. And then the weekend just gone, we got Warhammer Preview 2. Now, all of these releases are meant to be part of the Adepticon event.
Yes.
Which has obviously been cancelled now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, at the end of this preview, said, oh, you know what? This is like less than a third of what we'd had planned to reveal at Adepticon, so we're going to do another one. Oh. So there's at least one more coming, which I think is on, I think it's the 18th of April. So we'll have a gap, and then we'll be able to talk about whatever that is at the next episode.
Hmm.
But very quickly, we got a look into the box for the Lumineth Realm Lords, like the starter army that they're going to release, which includes limited edition codex, all the cards, limited edition dice, and their gem dice, which is an interesting change from Games Workshop.
Hmm.
And it's basically a unit of spearmen, a unit of cavalry, and the Light of Eltharion are the models in the box. So very core model. Box heavy. You know, you'll buy it because you want the cool limited edition codex and, or army book, I should, Battle Tome, I think. Sorry, for Age of Sigmar. But it, like I say, the Battle Tomes, they've shown us pictures and bits and pieces of magic lore, and there's hints and things, but I've only seen four units, two or three characters, and a monster or two. Where's the rest of the range?
Mm.
And that's what's going to sway me one way or the other, I think. Blood Bowl. We finally got a Treeman update for Blood Bowl, and it is the weirdest looking Treeman I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It has a squirrel on its arm, or one of the variants does anyway. But I like that Blood Bowl's getting some love.
Yeah.
So I'd say that squirrel is going to appear, assuming it's a separate piece, will appear on numerous armies at some point in time.
I think that's kind of cool.
It is.
Yeah.
The Heresy got new Word Bearers characters, which have been quite polarizing for the Heresy community, because a few of them have made comments that they seem very 40k-ish rather than 30k-ish.
Mm.
But the way these are set up is they are actually now Chaos worshippers. These are very much into the tail end of the Heresy, so there's the nods and things to some of the 40k stuff makes a little bit more sense. The Power Armored version's great. I really like that one. Then we got Angels of Death, the preview trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is more awesome video stuff that they've been doing with 3D animation this time. We got a tease on the Sons of... I hate the words they use.
Mm-hmm.
Behemoth, which is basically a giant's battle tome for Age of Sigmar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and this is the one I'm going to talk about, the next Psychic Awakening after War of the Spider has been named Pariah. And they've brought back F.R.L. Stern. Have you seen this model?
No.
Okay. So it is the Sisters of Battle, F.R.L. Stern, and she actually hasn't had an official model. I've actually got a version of her from somewhere in the 90s when Black Library were doing limited edition dioramas, where you got her with the Inquisitor from her, because she's from a graphic novel.
Yeah.
And
comic.
Graphic novel.
Comic.
It's not a comic, it's a graphic novel.
I'm sorry, it's a comic.
It's not. Anyway, So she, there's a, it was a diorama with her and Salas Hand, who was the Inquisitor from the story. So they've re-released her. Now she is called the Demonifuge because she's,
oh, I have seen her.
The story is a bit complicated, but basically there's a Sisters of Battle chapter that fall to Chaos, and then she sort of becomes the antithesis of Chaos. She was a Seraphim, so she did have a jump pack. She doesn't in the new miniature. The old version does because she was still part of the Seraphim in that.
Yeah.
What she is now in the new miniature is kind of levitating, breaking the ground around her with her...
force.
Yeah, her awesomeness. There's a lot of little nods on this model that make a really cool... Like, you can actually see she's floating. Like, if you look, all of her purity seals are pushed up against her corset rather than hanging down. The stuff on her belt is facing up rather than down. So there's a lot of motion in the model, which is really cool.
I touched a button, it disappeared.
You've lost it. So, and she's going to be accompanied by the Pariah. Kiganil, I think is how I, or it's how I pronounce his name. He's a former Harlequin. And so this is the first real named Harlequin character that we're actually going to get. And ironically, you can't use him in Harlequins, by according to the preview.
Oh.
Because he's been outcast. He is a pariah of his society.
Yeah.
And he's got a...
Hence the name.
And he's got a bionic hand, which is actually made of Wraithbone, and he's got these cool domino effects around his base, and he hasn't got a Harlequin mask. And I think the risk with this is there's a lot of players who don't know Demonifuge even existed 20 years ago, let alone... if you've been playing for 10 years, you probably haven't heard of it either. So there's been a lot of disappointed players when they've seen this come out and go, oh, named Harlequin. Hang on, what do you mean I can't use it with Eldar? We haven't seen the rules for it yet, so there may be a way of doing it, but everything that they said on the live stream and everything in the text implies that you have to take Stern. If you have to take Stern, then you can't... Logically, you won't be able to take it in an Eldar army.
Yeah.
And off the back of this, we're also getting the 20th anniversary Demonifuge re-released as a hardback. In colour this time, because it was all black and white back in the day. So...
Yes. It's so funny thinking like, oh, remember when books used to be in black and white because it was so expensive to print things in colour, and now, yeah.
No, apparently they've had an artist go all through it and update it and give it colour. So it still looks a little washed out, which is kind of good for the style of the book.
Yeah.
But it's actually one that I will probably pick up. I've got parts of it when they released it in Warhammer... I want to say it was called Chronicles, but there was like a... It was a monthly publication they were doing of comics and stuff. And, I've got parts of the story. I don't have the whole story, and this is apparently the whole thing. So I will have to pick that up because I really loved I've got the whole first part, but not... It's three parts, I think it is. And the Harlequin, the kit for those two characters... I'll probably want fair conversion for that Harlequin, depending on what you can do with him. So, interesting release. And then, in the same breath, because we all assumed that you'd get Sisters of Battle, the Death Watch, the Necrons, and the Harlequins in the last Psychic Awakening, they called it Pariah. The Necrons used to have a unit called Pariahs. Sisters of Battle are not psychic pariahs, but they're very anti-psychic. And then there was a Harlequin called Pariah, and the Death Watch were kind of left, like, they're alien hunters, and there's a lot of aliens in this book. Oh, we put it all together.
Yeah.
And then they turned around and said that Death Watch and Harlequins aren't going in the book. And they haven't said Necrons are either, for that matter, so I actually don't know what's in that book. But the Death Watch are going in a White Dwarf for their Psychic Awakening, and as are the Harlequins. Now, part of me goes, that's...
difficult.
Well, that's good for me because I'm paying $10 for a White Dwarf,
not as opposed to
$70 for a book. But I actually find it a little bit insulting as a player of that faction, because it's like, hang on, everyone else gets their cool book.
It's a proper book, and you get a 6-page excerpt in a
White
magazine.
Dwarf. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
not only that, it makes it difficult for us as TOs when you tell people they've got to bring a book, but actually you just need to bring 6 pages that you've cut out of a White Dwarf.
Yeah.
Or photocopied from your White Dwarf.
Now, the issue that they are talking about for preview
is... you're not actually allowed to photocopy magazines.
No, you're not.
Just saying.
Issue 453 is one we're talking about. It's actually out on the 2nd of May. And according to Games Workshop's website, they are saying it's going to be on shelves of any open stockists from that date, which I'm assuming means any of the third-party stores that have been allowed to stay open around the world.
Places like in WA, we've got places like Tactics, Beyond Games and Hobbies are still open.
I'm assuming that they're going to be sending these direct from printer to point of sale, because they can't be going to Games Workshop if Games Workshop has still got their doors closed, which we, at time of recording, they still are, and they will be for at least another week. I think the 14th of April was the date they'd earmarked for deciding what they were whether they're going to reopen or not.
For GW stores?
Yeah.
All right. I thought you meant the country.
No.
Like, really? I didn't hear that date.
So they've turned around and said, the Death Watch are going in this book, which includes new stratagems, litanies of battle, and more. Keep an eye out soon for more details of these awesome additions to your alien hunting army. Now, if it follows the usual history of Psychic Awakening, most of the factions' actual rules from Psychic Awakening are between 5 and 7 pages. And then they get another 5 to 7 of story and art and all that sort of stuff. So I'm assuming we're going to get the smaller end of both of that. It'll be a 12-page total type thing. But I do find it a bit frustrating that it's just a White Dwarf. And I'm still hoping that the reason they're putting it in White Dwarf is that it will end up in Pariah.
Yeah.
And they're going, you know what, we don't know what the world's going to look like. We know we had a release schedule for it. We don't want people to be waiting. We're going to give it to you early, and that way when you get the book, you know.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is they could be also struggling for some content for White Dwarf if all their staff aren't working and writing.
Well, I imagine that their staff are still working and writing. They're just doing it from home rather than going.
It's very hard to get a lot of that together having worked in publishing and printing. You want everyone in the one room to make sure that the thing's together.
And while I understand that, it's with the best of love and kindness, it's been a really long time since you worked in publishing, and the world has changed significantly.
It has.
And it's also, at the moment, it's changing daily. Rapidly, like daily, as people come up with different solutions. So I imagine that there's a lot of stuff that's happening with people working from home and finding creative solutions.
Things like when they would do a new release, if they haven't got photos of studio models that were painted, like if they, you know what I mean? Like if they've got physical things that the studio have half finished painting, but they've left them in lockdown, or someone's taken it home to paint it, now they need to get photos of it. You know, there are things that need multiple people to be present to do them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's just a theory.
Yeah.
So we'll see what...
I don't think it holds much water personally, but that's okay.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with May's White Dwarf, and I'm hoping that means the Harlequins are June. So that'll give me something to look forward to, since I've spent the last 2 days building Harlequin legs.
Just legs.
Yep. I decided I'd do the fiddly bit first.
Yeah.
So I had a photo, I put it on the patrons group earlier today, where it's just 36 pairs of legs, which is half the battalion.
Yeah.
So... it's all of the ones that I've had on Sprue. The other question I have for any of you listening is, what airbrush would you recommend to someone?
Oh, my God. We do this all the time. What colour should I paint this?
No. This is a hardware question that I have no experience in. Because my cheapo airbrush has died.
Yes.
So I need a new one.
Mm-hmm.
So what brand, what model, what should I buy?
And why? You're still going to have however many different opinions and different suggestions.
Well, I figure there's not that many variants of airbrush. Well, there are. But like I know I've narrowed it down to Gravity Fed because they're the ones that I've been using and I like those ones. There's three major brands. There's Badger, Iowata, and I can't think of the third one now. Starts with an H.
All right, that's right up there with your selection then.
Well, it's one that I hadn't heard of until Masters last year when we gave one away as a prize.
All right, yep.
Harden and Seinbeck, or it's something like that. But I'd heard of the first two quite a lot, and there's pros and cons for both, and the pricing's fairly comparable. I know plenty of people swear by Iowata, so I'm just curious if anyone's got anything that I've, like, any that I might have missed. Anyway, I think that's all of the news that I've got to cover for the episode. There's lots of releases coming, and I'm impressed that Games Workshop has still pushed a lot of this stuff out. The stuff we haven't covered, there's stuff that's been talked about for Necromunda, stuff that's been talked about for Warcry, there's a new book for Middle Earth. Like, there's a whole bunch of stuff they've previewed over the last couple of weeks, ignoring the big ones of, you know, Psychic Awakening and the Lumineth for Age of Sigmar. So, yeah, it's it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out and how long this release schedule lasts, because they've obviously already had to hold up Prophecy of the Saga of the Beast and Prophecy of the Wolf for release. Some people managed to get them because third-party stockists already had them before Games Workshop closed at shipping.
Mm.
But there's a whole bunch of people on pre-order for
yeah.
that book and that box set that are
waiting.
Currently sat waiting.
Yeah.
And Games Workshop have been really good. They've said if you want to cancel your order, we'll give you a full refund. And they've even encouraged you to go, and it's a very clever marketing move. They've said if you go and buy a £50 voucher or the local equivalent, mm. which I think will be about $85 here.
It's actually about double at the moment, but anyway.
They will give you £5 extra, local equivalent, free as part of that. So it'll let you basically go,
getting
okay.
10% discount.
Yeah, which it's quite an interesting way of processing a 10% discount, because it's obviously taking your money
in advance.
In advance.
Yeah.
Which makes total sense when you're trying to keep a business afloat.
Yeah.
And... you know, for whatever you like or dislike about Games Workshop, the fact that they are giving you free money.
Well, they're not giving you free money.
Well, they're giving you a discount off whatever you buy in a roundabout fashion.
Yes. And while I'm certainly not saying anything against them, they're not in any way giving you free money, and it comes with a lot of strings attached.
It does.
You know, it has to be over a certain amount in order to qualify, but it's not a full 10% discount, because then when you go on to buy something with it, you're only getting 10% of what you prepaid. So...
yeah.
But I'd still take it.
Well, and that's
I'm not saying that I'm...
But that's kind of been my interest in watching the online community complain about that. And you go... They're trying, like, don't get me wrong, they're trying to make sales.
Yep.
That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm. Especially at the moment, they're in their final quarter for the year yeah. as well. So,
I mean, they're doing better than a lot of companies on the stock market at the moment, but they're trying to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Fair cop to them. The fact that they're trying to give you more than what you're paying for.
Well, it's giving you an incentive to support them when their stores aren't actually open.
Yeah, they could have just left it at. And just gone, cool, buy vouchers.
But there's no, like, what's in that for me? Why would I buy a voucher now? Why wouldn't I just wait until the store reopens?
But that, and that's exactly what I mean, is that they're incentivizing it. But I don't get why people are being so negative about that incentive. Mm. So maybe it's just that we're all a bit off kilter at the moment.
I think that's highly likely.
Yeah.
Mine isn't the... Have you finished?
Yep, I'm done.
Mine isn't the news, but I just thought I would share just in case anyone like me hasn't seen these. So for those of you who... Well, anybody who's listening to this has probably heard more about our family than you probably need to. But our son is very much into building things and making things. So he spent a couple of days out in the studio the other day, came in, he'd made himself a Star Wars... Actually, it was a green stormtrooper.
It was a Space Marine.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, he built a Space Marine, a Mark right. 7 suit of power armor, just
clearly,
the head.
Clearly, I'm not very good. I thought it was from Star Wars.
No.
Well, whatever it was, he built a green one of them. But so anyway, a friend sent me through this as a potential quarantine homeschool activity for my children, which was a link to the Man at Arms video.
Oh, Man at Arms Reforged?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Warhammer 40K chainsword.
It's a working chainsword.
Yes.
It's amazing.
But then they've also done a Hammer of Sigma.
Yeah,
they've
done,
the things from The Hobbit and longswords. And so anyway, I just thought if you haven't seen those, it's worthwhile chewing up some of your time. Watch some of those. They're incredible.
Really, yeah, Man at Arms Reforged. They do. It's a company. Baltimore Knife and Sword is the company in the US,
mm-hmm.
and they basically go through and recreate weapons from video games and board games and pop culture and wherever they find the source, and they try and make them as accurate as possible based on the information that is within the game or within the story or within whatever they're trying to copy. So they've done like the Assassin's Creed weapons. They've done stuff out of Devil May Cry. They've done stuff out of Soul Calibur. Also like Wolverine claws and all sorts of bits and pieces. Some very cool videos there, and they take you through the whole forging process. They did the Hitori Hanzo sword from Kill Bill. So, yeah, half-hour video is very worth checking out. And, yeah, the live, it's literally a working chainsaw. Mm. It is the most unwieldy thing in the world because they've built it, obviously, to fit the motor.
Mm.
And the biggest guy in their workshop, the dude is a big man.
Yeah.
He's having to sort of throw it on his shoulder and then sort of lever it over two-handed to try and get it to swing because it weighs so much.
Yeah.
But it's very cool.
So needless to say, I was out at Bunnings earlier today, so I picked up a chainsaw and that's what the kids are going to make for their homeschooling activity for this week. And that's actually not going to happen.
Aww. I was sat here going, now this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's a shame.
Isn't it?
There'll be a link to Mounted Arms Reforged in the show notes for you to go and check out if you want to binge watch them. There's a whole bunch. I think there's like 80-something episodes now.
Well, that the episode that I was just talking about was that was season 3, episode 21, something like that. So
yeah, there's a lot of them.
There's certainly a lot of episodes that you can watch through if you're into that kind of thing.
But
I'm not sure if it's safe for us to show those to our son.
Oh, look, there's...
I'm sure he needs that kind of inspiration.
There's at one point there, they were saying, oh, if you've got any suggestions, let us know. If you're interested in commissioning something, let us know. And I was there going, oh, I have so many things I would get them to make if I had the money to get them to make it. Because swords aren't illegal to import into Western Australia.
Yeah.
I don't know how a chainsaw would go.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure. Well, I mean, chainsaws you can buy.
And a chainsawed, though?
Yeah, less so.
You're right, I'll just have to stick with like Soul Reaver from Legacy of Kain or something like that.
Mm.
Big, giant, two-handed flambeage sword. Anyway,
mm.
She hasn't said no, so I'm moving on. We'll be back in a second.
Haven't said yes either.
Doesn't matter. It's easier to plead for forgiveness than ask for permission.
It's really not, just so you know. It's really, really not.
Works the other way though, doesn't it?
Are we moving on?
Yeah, we're going to move on. We'll be back in just a second to talk all things quarantine and mental health. All right, topic. You're going to lead this conversation.
Oh, no, you lead and I'll just talk.
No, this is very much a you world. What's I'm going to interject with hobby stuff.
Well, this was your choice of topic.
I know. And the reason for the topic is I know that how each of us in the family has been dealing with it. And I've been talking to people online in different parts of the world about how they're coping with the isolation, the recommended social isolation, which some people are taking seriously and others seem to be ignoring completely.
Okay, so let's set some ground rules. We are, just in case you happen to be listening to this in the future, we are recording this in the middle of, I guess, the 2020 COVID-19 world crisis.
It's the 8th of April specifically.
And because we're running late, so this should be going out on the 8th of April, we've got how many hours before?
I got like 3.5 hours, it'll be fine.
Sweet, providing we don't drivel on too much, we should get it out on time. Okay, so we're recording this in the middle of, some parts of Australia are in lockdown, some parts of the world are in lockdown and have been for a significant amount of time. Western Australia, where we are, is not considered to be in lockdown. We're, as you said, social isolation, social distancing. I personally don't want to hear the words COVID-19, social isolation or social distancing ever again.
Yep.
So I'm going to try and do this podcast without mentioning any of those words.
That'll be interesting.
It will be.
I'll find a beep noise now.
Well, let's see how we go. Also, I think I would like to set a ground rule that, and I'm going to try really hard to stick to it, there is so much judgment at the moment. And there is so much negativity and so much moral high ground that I really want us to step away from that. I want us to step away from judging people who we don't know their story and from knowing better than other people. Because I think the reality is that nobody knows better than anybody else because this is all brand new for everyone.
It is.
So ideally, I'd like to have a conversation without any judgment, which is really quite tricky. But we'll give that a go. Yeah. All right. So where do we start? Where do you want to start?
Well, I've seen a lot of people already saying, hey, this is a great opportunity to dig into your pile of shame.
Yeah.
And use your hobby to fill in some of the time.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a great place to start. And there are two things with that. There are three things with that. Let's start with the first one. Some of us are still going to damn work.
Yes, that is true.
Some of us...
Because you're essential to the community.
Mm-hmm. Some of us are working harder and more hours now than we have done in a really long time. And some of us are really, really tired.
Yep.
And so while we're here, oh, this is a fantastic time to learn a new language.
Remember judgment.
I know, there was no judgment.
It sounds like there's judgment.
There was no judgment.
It definitely sounds like it.
There might sound like it. I didn't say Brenda just said to me. I just said, if I hear one more time, oh, what a fantastic time to learn a new language, I might smack someone. Okay, because at the moment, I'm not sure if I can learn where we keep the tea bags.
Yeah, you don't know that.
No, I don't. Somebody makes me tea. It's great. So some of us are still doing that. Some of us are really lucky to still be doing that because we have an income coming in. So, you know, putting that out there, I don't want to negate that. But at the same time, everybody's in a different situation.
Yeah.
And those different situations are impacting people in different ways. The other part of it is, you know, I've seen some things coming up on social media around if you haven't found the time to dig into your pile of shame now, let me just rephrase that. If you have been saying, I haven't been painting my Titan because I haven't had time and you're not getting it done now, lack of time was never your problem. And then there's a whole heap of judgment that goes with that because it's around the fact that you don't have a commitment to it or you're not making it a priority, you're choosing not to do it, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That may be the case. The other case may be that some people don't have the capacity to be able to function at the moment. We are not on holiday.
No, exactly not.
So I think it's really important to recognize that we are functioning at the moment or not functioning at the moment, depending on how well you're going. The whole world is in crisis and we are trying to function while in a completely unique situation that most of us have never been in before. And I say most of us because I imagine that some people have got similar experiences that they can relate to. So for some people who have never been in any kind of social distancing or social isolation situation before, it's really unique. And not being able to go out, not being able to get that social connection, not being able to choose where you go and when you go or who you have contact with is really difficult. For other people, for example, people who are in the armed forces who are used to that kind of isolation or people who are FIFO and that kind of, who are used to being separated from family and not having the ability to have contact with the outside world, it may feel less alien. But there's still the situations where it's actually not just about the social isolation. It's about all the uncertainty that goes with it. It's about the fact that for, 3 weeks, I don't know, it may have actually only been 3 days, but it felt like a really long time. We didn't know whether or not schools were going to close.
Yeah.
And we were waiting all the time. And, you know, we went out for lunch on Friday for my mum's birthday and we were talking about following that up. We were going to go out for dessert that was on the Friday. On the Monday, we were going to go out for dessert.
Yeah.
Then Sunday night, they announced that Monday lunchtime, all of these things were closing. Like there was no notice, there's no time.
It's just this is happening.
That's it. Nobody's having a chance to actually be able to find solid ground because things are changing so quickly and there's so much uncertainty. Now, again, you may have experiences that are similar to that, but a lot of people don't. This is the first time they're experiencing it and we're having to learn how to deal with that uncertainty.
Yeah.
Now, we're not only having to learn how to do that ourselves, but we're having to learn how to do that while caring for other people and making sure that we're keeping the world as solid as possible for our children, if you have children.
And look, the whole topic of homeschooling.
We are not homeschooling. That's a topic, a whole nother topic. But this, just so you know, is not homeschooling.
No, I mean...
Homeschooling was one of the most social periods of our kids' life. We were always out doing activities.
Yeah, and that's literally what I was about to say, is that anyone who thinks that you are homeschooling, at least in Australia, or Western Australia specifically, what you're doing now isn't homeschooling.
Not at all. It's not even close.
What you're doing now is essentially getting the kids to complete worksheets and stuff. And I think, don't get me wrong, the teachers are doing what they can to make sure that the kids get, you know, stuff to do.
They're held steady.
Yeah.
But we're not... Nobody signed up for this.
No. That's it. If you're homeschooling, it's always a choice.
Mm-hmm. And people choose to homeschool. They research it. They learn where the curriculum is. They learn how to do it. They learn what needs to be done.
And they get monitored and assisted. And
well, they get moderated, but not monitored. And well, but yeah,
same thing.
It's not the same. But anyway, that's an argument for another time. So we're not. That's exactly it. And we're not choosing to work from home. We're like. There's a lot of people around the country or around the world who are now trying to work from home while trying to parent and make sure that they're educating their children and, you know, keep every... Like, it just... And then in all of that, make sure you dig into your pile of shame. Yeah, because if you can't do it now...
Yeah. Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. So I think that's probably one of the things that I wanted to say. The third part of that is that... Hobby is actually a really good creative outlet. I'm not going to be as inappropriate with this as I was off air, but there's a few different things that you can do to...
Go on, just say it.
There's a few different things that you can do to
We won't say who said this live on a... Was it live? Did you say it live?
No, it's something that I read.
Just say it anyway.
So anyway, it talks about different things that you can do to try and support your mental health. So one of the things is about finding a creative outlet. So obviously painting, modelling, hobby and even gaming is a great creative outlet. Finding some sort of expressive art and, you know, our emotional brain is really receptive to creative arts. So it can be a really great way to try and regulate and look after our own kind of emotions. And this is why, a couple of years ago, and it's still relatively popular, but a couple of years ago, we saw this real surgence of the mindful colouring.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Which for me, I can't stand. I would much rather actually sit and paint scenery because at least then I feel like I'm being productive.
You're accomplishing something.
Which is another thing as well. There's this kind of, I'm not sure when it happened, but there's this ideal in our society that we have to be productive.
Mm.
And at this particular point of where we are, we actually probably need to learn to let go of that. We don't need to be productive.
I think you're right in that particularly, I was talking to someone today who was in a sales role,
mm-hmm.
and he is frustrated beyond belief because he can't be productive in a sales role.
Yes.
He's expected to work from home at the moment, which he really appreciates, so he has a job.
Yeah.
But
you can't go and make sales calls.
You call a client and say, hey, we're doing this, and they go, yep, cool. I'll let you know when we're going to change what we're doing.
I got a sales email from a random company that we used 7 years ago, and I got a random email with no, cold email, not even a cold call, cold email after 7 years. Hi, Emma. Just wanted to touch base. I'm your new sales rep and I'm going to be helping you out with all your printing needs. I'm like, oh, buddy, you're not. Delete. So I don't have capacity to be thinking about what my printing needs are. And I tell you what, I'm not doing it from a cold email.
No. And it's certainly been for anyone who is in a sales related role, you either lost your job or you're now trying to make it work and you've got a company that says, no, you can work from home. But some companies are still expecting the same results. And that's just not going to be reasonable for anyone because having spent time in sales, you need to be in front of people.
Mm.
If you're not in front of them, they can ignore you and fob you off exactly like you've just done.
But even if you're in front of people, people don't have the capacity to be able to
It's not important.
And I will just say, let me just finish this thing about the creative outlet and how good it is for our emotional brain and that kind of thing. This article that I was reading says before that we should engage in repetitive movements and left-right movements. Now, I can see that...
That wasn't exactly what you said earlier.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It was.
The grin on your face says otherwise.
No, it was. It just says that research has shown that repetitive movements can be effective as self-soothing.
There we go. self-soothing repetitive movement.
Sorry, I imagine.
Please remember this is not gender biased.
Not at all. But I imagine that a paintbrush.
Yeah, okay, let's go with a paintbrush and self-soothing.
A paintbrush, you know, the gentle... Okay, no, I'm going to say gentle strokes, but that's not going to help me at the moment. So this is why I wasn't going to talk about this
This is great. I'm not going to edit this at all. It's just going to go as it is and let everyone enjoy the laugh with us.
Anyway, yeah, okay, back to what you were just saying before. This is just going to go all over the place, I'm sorry. But for anybody who is trying to homeschool at home with what you said about, I can't remember what you said, but I was sure there's a link in my head, so that's why I'm talking about it. We homeschooled one of our kids for 3 years.
Well, we say we, you did
okay,
most of the work.
I homeschooled one of our kids, yeah. And one day a week you did the program that I set for him.
Yes. So, I can't take any credit for that. I'm upfront and honest about that.
But I've got a lot of experience with homeschooling.
Yeah.
And
it helps that your mum's a teacher as well, because we did.
Well, actually it doesn't, but because when we first started, she was like, oh, this is how you do it at school and this is how you do it at school. And it took me a little while to kind of go,
we're not at school.
School wasn't working for him. That's why we took him out.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say is that, around people not having the capacity to be able to listen to sales pitches and stuff like that. We've got experience homeschooling our kids. And so I've had a few people going, oh, you must have a great program. What are your kids doing? I do not have capacity to think about homeschooling my children at the moment.
No.
Our kids are on holiday. So I can't manage the mental health needs of the team that I have, the organization, the people, the community that we're supposed to be, that we're trying to support, and how we're trying to change everything, as well as looking after the mental health needs of our family, and think about how I'm going to educate them at the moment. They're not. At the moment, the most important thing is caring for their mental health and making sure that they're supported and that they come out of this as whole as possible.
Yeah. Our oldest daughter, thankfully, is very... Oh, education focused. So that's she's right. actually doing homework and assessments and stuff of her own free will. Whereas the other two have
gone.
The
other morning, I'm like, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm just doing this HASS assignment. It's 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Whereas the other two have gone, yep, holidays, here we are.
Okay. I think I have no idea if we covered any. Oh, hobby. Jumping into your hobby thing. So while it can be really good for your mental health to find, you know, an expressive outlet or creative outlet for self-expression, it also, you may not have the capacity to do that.
No. I think, though, the danger with, because I've seen a lot of people just go, no, I'm just going to binge Netflix, or I'm just going to sit in front of the TV or play video games.
Yeah.
I think video games, of all of those sort of options, is the best of a bad bunch.
Okay, why is that?
Because I feel like, at least with a video game, you're engaging your mental space in ways other than just absorbing what's on the screen.
It depends whether or not you've got the... You have to do what's right for you.
Yeah.
Saying that...
I like the distraction. The reason I do the hobby and... I've actually seriously been thinking about pulling out and playing some computer games I still haven't got.
Mm. You still haven't got... You still haven't finished.
Still haven't finished. Is as a method of keeping my brain occupied and engaged and doing things.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. I mean, you were in here attached to a computer today. I was outside... digging gun.
You were doing
beds.
Gun, yeah.
So everybody's
I was building Harlequin legs while watching a YouTube video and playing a computer game.
Yeah.
That way when one thing stops, I can just go to the next thing and... if I could figure out how to stream multiple things of audio to one point, I'd probably have a podcast running as well. And
So some things that are good for us, that are good for us all the time, are still really good for us at the moment.
Yeah.
And these are good for everyone all the time. Things like Finding 30.
Yeah.
Now that's 30 minutes. So Finding 30 works for a lot of things. Find 30 minutes to be outside.
I'm actually amazed at how much better I've felt on the days when we've gone as a family to do a 30, 40 minute walk with mm-hmm. the dogs than compared to the days I don't go out.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I've said for years that I'm solar powered. And if I get cranky, you will say to me, one, have you eaten? And two, have you been outside and got some sunshine today?
Yep.
Because it affects my mood so much. And it's I'm obviously not alone. It does for everyone. Vitamin D is really good for us. It's good for our mental health. It's actually good for our skin as well, and it's good for our immunity. So everything's getting hit there. We're trying, obviously, in a time where people are worried about viruses, we want our immune system to be fully functioning. So vitamin D is one of the things that helps strengthen our immunity. Please make sure that you are sun smart as well and aren't putting yourself at risk of getting sunburned. It's less of an issue at the moment. It was quite hot today.
30 something degrees here in Perth.
Yeah, I was
today.
Outside digging soil and I was mad. Anyway, so getting outside and getting sunshine is important. Now, some people seem to think that lockdown or social isolation means you are not allowed to leave your house. Even in Italy, where they're in hard lockdown,
like China was,
they're still allowed, encouraged to go out for an hour's exercise a day. In the UK, in lockdown, they're encouraged to go outside every day to exercise.
Still following the boundaries of social isolation.
Yep. That's right. In Australia, there's the two-person rule here, and that is actually put in place so that people can go out and exercise and women aren't vulnerable walking by themselves or exercising by themselves. So, again, if you're going out to exercise and you're exercising with somebody who's not part of your immediate family or not part of your household, maintaining that 1.5 metre distance and you're only allowed to exercise with one other person or by yourself, that's completely fine. But getting outside is allowed, and if you're worried about the virus, then you can exercise in your own back garden.
Mm.
So if you're Facebook friends with me, then you know that I've turned this into my solitary confinement exercise montage program, which is based on when the good guy ends up in jail and then ends up in solitary confinement. They show you a montage of sit-ups and push-ups and shadow boxing and all of those kinds of things. So that's what I'm doing in the back garden. Exercise, fresh air, it's good for you.
If, on the other hand, you just need to get out into the sun and get some fresh air and some sun, there's no reason you can't take your painting station, sit outside in the sun for some time and get some fresh air and paint.
Definitely.
Or hobby. Or...
There's two different things. So getting...
I'm just thinking sitting on an exercise bike while building models, as long as you're not using a scalpel, is probably okay.
When was the last time you sat on an exercise bike?
Oh, no, I'm not doing that.
Mm.
I'm just thinking the different ways of trying to incorporate everything into one thing.
Yeah, I think we've got... If you aren't working and trying to juggle all of that stuff, you've probably got time that you could do multiple things.
That's true.
So finding 30 minutes to get outside and get fresh air and finding 30 minutes a day of exercise.
Yep.
Both are really important. Now, I know prior to all of this, the gaming club in Perth, Outpost 6030, were talking about doing... They were doing their boot camp or, you know, walking, gaming, that kind of... Yeah. A lot of different ideas were floated around. Now might be a time to do that.
Well, I know they were doing laps of the oval for half an hour before the event, before the club started.
Yeah.
So, and it was just a casual stroll of chatting and mm-hmm. all the rest of it in the fresh air.
That's it. And that's all it needs to be. Casual stroll, getting out, getting some movement happening.
Yeah.
Eating healthy food is good for people.
Yeah, it's been really interesting watching how that's impacted everyone, because I know a lot of people are trying to eat out more via like things like Uber Eats and... Menu log and those sorts of things.
Anybody who says that they're doing that to support local businesses.
Well, some of them have said that. However, there's a whole bunch of people doing it because they're worried that there's going to be this hard lockdown where they won't be able to get to the shops. And this way they're keeping what they've got in the house and like kind of killing two birds with one stone there. They're not having to eat. They're not having to buy food.
Yeah.
They're supporting another business and, you know, they're not having to clean up necessarily as much. I don't think anywhere in the world has actually gotten... I think China, maybe, at the epicenter of all this, got to that point where they were sort of barricading you in your house and saying, don't leave. But communist China is a very different thing than the Western world.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, I've seen a few people claiming that eating takeout is...
And again, in the UK, in Paris, which I guess are the two big places other than China, where they have had those lockdowns, people are still able to go out and go to the supermarkets and get their toilet paper and pasta and flour, should you be able to find it, all of those.
Yeah, it's one
of
the few things we haven't been able to find locally is flour.
Hmm. Yeah. No pancakes for us. So eating healthy is always good for us as well. and social connection. And this is one of the things which is really difficult, but trying to find 30 minutes a day to be able to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
So, obviously we can't, for some of us, social isolation and not having to talk to people is awesome. But saying that, I'm still going to work and I'm still forced to talk to people.
There is that, yep.
So, I'm still not getting that. But for other people like you who... you need to talk to people, it's really difficult for you.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I think we need to have your phone surgically removed, but you're always attached to your phone. We've got things like Zoom, we've got Skype, we've got house party apps, although I think there might be a security issue with that, but, there's all of these different ways that we can communicate with people.
Well, I'm actually going to... give a shout for the Discord server that we set up a little while ago. Yeah. I want to actually have that logged in while I am sat here doing hobby. Mm. So that if you want to chat to someone or whatnot, it'll be logged in and I'll be sat here with at least half a headphone on so you can chat to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you...
Okay, and I don't use Discord because I'm... Oh, well, I was going to say I'm technologically literate, but I did actually teach you something on the computer last night. I'm so proud. So Discord, is it actual people talking to each other or is it typing?
No, there's voice channels and chat channels.
Okay.
And I will just sit in one of the voice channels, which you can type in as well. Mm. But the voice channels
it's tricky to type while you're trying to use a scalpel.
Well, I've just finished cleaning up all the legs, so the next part's all clippers with the torso. So those harlequins are going to be built in in many, many stages.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes for Discord for us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I made it private. I'm not sure. If you want access to it, then send us a message and I'll send you a link to it.
Okay.
So, yeah, I definitely think that being able to communicate with someone outside of your immediate family is actually quite important for some people from time to time.
I also think that, yeah.
Because it lets you... I mean, everyone has their own sort of versions and personas of... who you are and...
Yeah, most definitely. I think there's about 15 different versions of me. And when all of those, like people from all the different groups get together and I'm there between all of them, I honestly feel like some sort of, robot that my head's going to explode. Like, which version of me am I supposed to be? So with you saying that it's important to have somebody outside of your immediate family to talk to, we used to joke because of... the hours you worked and the different jobs that I've had. So I used to teach dancing, so I would be out a lot of nights. You would be working during the day. We wouldn't get much time together. We'd sort of be passing in and out and tag-teaming parenting. And I used to joke that was the secret to our marriage because if you never see each other, you can't argue. Now, there are people who, we've gone with to now working together, so we see each other all the time.
Yep.
So we're probably quite used to seeing each other quite a bit. But it did come as a shock to both of our systems when that first started.
Mm, that's true.
And for people who have had this isn't choice that people are now spending 24 hours a day together, no. 7 days a week. It's taxing.
Well, you've got to think that the average, like if you think about a standard couple who both work, there's 8 to 10 hours a day that you're not together.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another six to eight hours of sleep thrown into that.
So you
get an hour or two
hours
in the morning when you're getting ready for work. Yeah.
How much of that time do you spend together? Yeah,
and then you're
in there brushing your teeth.
You kind of get that 4 hours in the evening from like 6 till 10, or that sort of period of time where you're having dinner together and you're doing, like, spending any real time together before it's time to go back to sleep and try again. So you get to the weekend going, cool, I haven't seen you all week.
Yeah, nice. Let's spend some time together.
Yeah, let's go out and do stuff.
Whereas now we're going, oh look, it's the weekend.
Well, you couldn't figure out what day it was at one point there.
I know. I was so disappointed. I thought it was Thursday, which meant it was nearly weekend, and it was Tuesday. Yeah. It's quite devastating. So one of the other things that you can try is to actually create some space that is away from your family.
Yeah, getting some you time.
Yeah. In
With soothing...
repetitive motion.
I knew that'd crack you up. That's awesome.
Oh, dear me. But in all seriousness, having space where you can go, you know what, I'm actually just going to go hobby for half an hour and I'm going to just go and... So everybody gets a bit of space.
Yeah.
And having places where your partner can go and do the same. And tag team, you've got the kids for half an hour while I go and do this. I've got the kids for half an hour while you go and do this.
Or if you're fortunate enough to have older kids like we do.
You've got all three of the kids.
You make sure the house doesn't burn down. All right, we're
good. You go to one side of the garden, I'll go to the other and we'll just peace out for a bit. So, but the kids need space for themselves as well.
Yeah.
And especially in a time where people's emotions are a little bit frayed, it's really easy to bicker and, you know, I think there's a few things floating around on Facebook. One of them is we're either going to see a baby boom or a divorce boom. And, you know, I'm either coming out of this fat, pregnant or alcoholic. Well, I'm not sure that you need to choose between the three, to be honest. So, you know, I think that that's possibly one of the other things that you can do to try and support the whole family's emotions.
I think particularly for those of you who have, even for just for your partner, if you are living with anyone else, looking after yourself is just as important as supporting and looking after them.
Well, so there's the whole thing about putting on your oxygen mask first. So, and for people who don't work in the area of mental health, just to explain, because I've just got this blank look. So there's the idea that, you know, when you're on an aeroplane.
Yeah.
And the, what are they called? Flight attendant. The flight attendant will go through the, in case of an emergency, make sure you fit your own oxygen mask before fitting the oxygen mask of family or children. It's the same with looking after yourself. If you don't look after yourself first, there is nothing left of you to be able to look after somebody else. So we have to fit our own oxygen mask so that we're able to then assist our partner and our children to look after them. And for women, that's often really quite difficult. It's difficult for us to look after ourselves because it's selfish. And we have to, for anybody who's listening, we have to kind of reframe that, that we're not actually being selfish by looking after ourselves. We're doing that as a gift to the other people in our family so that we have the capacity to be able to look after other people.
Yeah.
You know, you can't pour from an empty cup and all of those other cliches.
I'll take your word for the cliches, but yeah, it makes sense. Mm. Because you're no good to anyone.
If you're an empty husk of your former self, you're no good to me.
Yeah. So, definitely maintain those social connections if you can.
Yeah, maintaining social connections. And if you can find hobby as a, you know, as a creative outlet and find some ability to, I guess, to be able to find yourself and to be able to focus, use it for mindfulness and all of that kind of stuff, to be able to focus only on the hobby and to be able to not be on social media looking at the updates and the sensationalism and the, you know, the media hype and the negativity and all of that that's around that. But to be able to close off from that and, you know, with the fine 30 as well, maybe limit yourself to only 30 minutes a day where you're looking at all of that negativity.
And it's a hard one with social media because it has become so integrated in a lot of our lives.
Yeah.
That you know, you'll just check it out of habit periodically. Mm. And I've turned off all the notifications on my phone. I've turned off all the notifications on my iPad. I'm trying to...
All of my notifications are turned off, but I'm totally addicted to social media.
Oh, see, I'm if it doesn't ping at me, then that helps me a great deal with getting away from it.
No.
And then I get people grumpy at me because I don't reply to them in 5 seconds. Mm. But I do think that social media has been really good and really bad for us, and this kind of highlights both sides of that, because it does mean if you need someone to talk to, you've got a wealth of opportunity to try and find someone who is available to talk to. Yeah. But at the same time, you're also exposed to a whole bunch of negativity, which doesn't... If you're only putting negativity into your mental space, it only makes it worse for you.
Yeah.
And I think that social media, for all the good it has done, has a real risk, particularly if you're in a vulnerable state mentally to begin with. If all you're reading is negativity and, you know, all the death toll and percentages of recovery and all that other...
Or just the judgment and the...
why haven't you learned this? Why haven't you done that? Why aren't you being more
productive?
I can't
believe people are still doing this. And,
it just makes you feel worse.
Propaganda posts that are going around as well. And people aren't kind of looking at those, what I'm calling propaganda posts, and being able to look at them rationally and going, where are those numbers coming from? And where are those stats? Is this actually real information or is this fear-mongering? And what who's writing this and what's the intended purpose? And a lot of the time that intended purpose is to frighten people.
Well, it's certainly
sensationalism.
Well, it's certainly to get clicks.
Yeah. And so the flip side of that is try and notice the good in the world. And this is something that we hear, you know, around the times when we have bushfires and things like that, we see lots of posts on social media around look for the helpers. Well, that's still happening now.
Yeah.
We're still having, I think this is the first time in history, and I say this as someone who worked on checkout for quite some time. Well, we both did.
Yeah, we both have.
That's where we met. So, you know, we both worked on checkout. I think this is the first time in our lifetime that we've seen, I'm going to call them checkout chicks, we were both checkout chicks, that checkout operators have been seen as heroes. So yeah. It's really interesting that our perceptions are changing. But the idea of look for the heroes, we've always seen that as look for the volunteer fire brigade who are going in, look for the SES who are supporting, look for the police, look for the... But now
first responders and that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Now it's look for the checkout operators, look for the cleaners, look for the, nurses and the doctors. Hopefully, have always been seen as that as well. So there is lots of good in the world. It's just that it's human nature for us to notice the negative.
Yeah.
So with that, I haven't talked to you about this, but I think that we
sure.
Should I think we should put an obsec post on, since I've just said people should limit how much social media time they have.
Yeah, let's put it on social media.
Yep. But I think it might be useful to have in all of our different obsec groups a positivity post. So if you've got something that you want to share about something that you've seen or an experience that you've had or just a positive picture or an uplifting quote or whatever, then we can put it there. So if you are finding that you're focusing on the negative, we can maybe...
Even if it's just something you're proud of that you completed for the hobby that 100%. You want to share.
I was just thinking that. Like I saw Steve posted that he'd finished his Titan. Mark posted today
Space Wolf Librarian, yeah. Rune Priest, I think, is the right name for it.
Okay, I don't know. It had a cool Starry Night cloak.
It's his new space... He decided that his Space Wolf army wasn't painted the way he wanted, so he sold it and bought a new one.
Remember at the beginning when we said no judgment? so what was cool about the thing that Mark showed was that he's trying new skills, he's trying new techniques. His painting is improving, incredibly. So really good that he's sharing that with people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and I don't think that I commented on it, but looks really cool, Mark, if you're listening to this. So anything like that where people might want to post and share what they've been doing or that would be kind of cool. So you can add that to your to-do list.
Fair enough. I'm writing notes as we're here, so.
Oh my goodness. I honestly feel like my world has turned upside down. Yesterday I taught you something on the computer. Today I suggested getting Veggie Patch and you didn't complain, and now you're writing notes. I did find myself agreeing with a politician that I never thought I would agree with as well. So,
just remember this when I order the airbrush later.
I already told you to order an airbrush. I've been telling you to order an airbrush since the one broke.
Okay.
It's not a priority. Make it a priority.
Awesome.
Okay, back to...
Those other six boxes of Harlequins that are the other half of this brigade are a priority, right?
No, they're not. Which brings us straight into the next topic, actually.
That's news to me, but okay, we're moving on.
Long-term projects.
No, this isn't a long-term project. I've got a bunch of contrast paint I want to try.
So maybe now is the time to start thinking about, if you do have time, capacity, mental space, maybe now is the time to consider looking at one of those long-term projects and maybe finishing one. Titan.
Yep. Cool. I'm going to order the airbrush. Well, no, I've asked that question earlier. Now it's a moot point because I'm just going to go with the one I was recommended earlier. Eyewater Eclipse, for those of you playing at home. And the company is an Australian company that I'll be buying it from, and they're still shipping. So when it gets here, I might do a little review of it as well. Put that up there on social media.
Yeah, perfect. Have you got any other thoughts?
I feel like you have to make sure you're looking after yourself. And we've said it more than once. It's really easy to get caught up in your own headspace and, you know, focus on all that negative stuff. And you're not going to be good to anyone if you're not looking after yourself. And ignoring it isn't enough. You can't fob it off and go, oh, I feel a bit shit today. I'll just play more video games and forget about it. Because as soon as you stop playing, it's going to come back. You actually have to address some of those concerns sometimes.
Yeah. So
you can't put it off and hope it goes away.
Yeah. So things like physical activity, eating well, going outside are really good things for everyone.
Yeah.
If you have had previous mental health concerns or have had previous mental ill health, and you have a psychologist or psychiatrist or medication,
or anywhere else you've been getting help from.
And so make sure you're keeping in touch. So in Australia, in Western Australia at least, there's access to telehealth so that people are still able to see their support workers or in whatever form that support looks like. And if you have never experienced poor mental health before, but you are struggling and it's, you know, and you're struggling to the point that it's actually impacting your ability to get on with your life, then reaching out for professional help is probably the best suggestion.
The stigma around mental health these days has gotten a lot better than it has been in the, you know, preceding 10 to 20 years and beyond. But I know there's a lot of people still hesitant to say, hey, I've got a problem, I need help.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to recognise when you aren't feeling like yourself and you haven't been necessarily responding the way you want to respond or you would usually respond and you find yourself feeling off, then finding someone you can connect with and talk to about it is really important.
Yeah. And so maybe in the show notes you can put the phone numbers for Beyond Blue and Lifeline and Crisis Care, which are the Australian numbers. Internationally, I'm sure that you guys already know what your support lines would be in your different countries. Otherwise, Google search for mental health telephone line would probably be my suggestion.
Most countries have free, those sort of free call numbers when you're feeling that you need the support.
Yeah, and on a lot of those numbers here in Western Australia are staffed by volunteers, and sometimes the support that you get on that phone call is not necessarily the kind of support that you are hoping to receive. Try and read between the lines here. If you find that the support that you got or that you're getting isn't helpful, hang up and call again, because chances are somebody else will answer. And also before, I made a joke and said that, you know, there's a post going around on social media or somebody messaged it to me, whatever, saying at the end of this we're either going to be fat, alcoholic or pregnant. Alcohol is, you know, while we all have a joke and have a drink and you're sat here with a scotch and coke or scotch and ginger beer, whatever it is,
yep,
scotch and something, that keeps sticking to your coaster and making clanging noises, alcohol shouldn't actually be how we cope.
Like, no.
We don't want to be getting ourselves drunk to the point of oblivion or, you know, whatever, as the only way to be able to cope. So if you're finding that you are self-medicating with alcohol or self-medicating with any other illicit substance, obviously alcohol isn't illicit, but any self-medicating with anything, then maybe it's time to reach out for some support. Yeah. That was quite a heavy note. Let's make it a bit lighter.
We'll just go back to like repetitive movements and...
I know it was a mistake to share that with you.
Yeah, well, I'm leaning into it now. It's fine.
Okay, so I guess part of that, the other part of that that I was going to say was that it is really easy to kind of get bogged down in this, but there will be positives that come out of it as well. So, for example, for us, at the end of last year, we sat down, we do a December Advent activity thing where we do different activities every day. Anyway, so one of the activities we did at the end of the year was to write a list of 100 things that we were going to do this year as a family. And when we were writing those, I was thinking, I have no idea how on earth we are going to fit all of this kind of stuff in. But the rule is anything goes. So if the kids want to put – so we kind of go around in the circle and everyone gets to say something that they want to achieve in the year that we're doing. And so one of the things that was on there was our son wanted to do a board game month. So one board game a day, every day for a month. So guess what April is? Mm. Board game month. The kids wanted to grow their own mushrooms, which is a bit random, but that's our family really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So I happened to find a mushroom growing kit that they're getting for Easter.
Which we just rang about because...
Just in case they're still awake.
Yeah. makes total sense in the context of recording.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things on there was create a veggie patch. I'm creating a veggie patch with very little complaint from you, which is awesome. So, you know, there's different... We're kind of ticking through all of these different things on our 100 things to do. We may be able to make it 200 things to do if we keep going like this. So there are lots of positives. And whether that's more time spent together as a family, I'm sure that some people will find that a positive. Creating connections in different ways or slowing down a little bit. Yeah.
I had someone tell me a couple of days ago they
were finally finishing at Titan.
Well, they sent me an army list for what they've got planned for the second half of the year in the hopes that our events get off the ground again.
Mm.
And it was an army of about 300 and something models.
Oh, okay. Well, you should have time to paint them.
And I said to her...
Okay, she should have time to paint them.
That's ambitious. And she went, yep, but there's going to be a whole bunch of new armies on the table at the end of this because, you know, there's... And she's not the only one who have said it to me. There's several who've gone, you know what? Because I am now at home working from home... There's only so much I can do from home because everyone else isn't working or, you know.
Well, also, for some people, the commute time has gone.
So they're getting painting done during the day. Mm. And
it's much easier to set your models up and paint at your lunchtime when you're working, you know, and having that at your dining table as opposed to having to unpack them, you know, in the lunchroom at work. Or
some crazy woman yell at you for bringing water-based paints into the
workroom.
Workroom, yeah.
Lunchroom, yeah.
But no, I think that, you know, hopefully once we get back the semblance of normalcy that we had, we're going to be in a position where we're going to have some really exciting events that happen where people bring whole new, you know, game like armies out to tables and we're going to see a sort of a revitalized hobby community who haven't seen in each other for months.
Mm.
And it's going to be quite a big reunion. I'm hoping that, you know, the events that we are able to go ahead with. And at the moment, you know, I'm hoping that August is going to go ahead. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a very quiet year in terms of events. Mm. I'm hoping that when we get to those big events that we can go, okay, cool. Like, we're going to try and not limit the tickets for those so that we get as many people back out into the community as we possibly can. We're going to be reaching out and asking for help for terrain and boards and things because we only have so much.
We don't have a car to pull the trailer at the moment.
No,
it's
another hurdle we've had to, we're going to have to deal with.
It's okay because I've been wanting a new car. So,
I'm really hopeful that as a community we can stay in contact, stay in touch and support each other as and when we need to through this so that when we all do get back together again... It's going to be almost like it's never happened. It's going to be, we're going to be a sort of a more close-knit community as a result.
Mm. And with that, I think one of the things that people, well, some of the people that I'm talking to are struggling, is that there's no certainty around how long this is going to go for.
No.
So that can be really difficult. Like if you know that you're going to be in this situation for 3 weeks.
You can count it down. And
that's it.
You've got an end date.
Exactly right. Whereas at the moment, we don't have that. And one of the things that can be quite useful is to do chunking. So, you know, that's basically where you break things down into something that's manageable. So this is useful for kind of any mental health thing. I've found it, I talk about this with new parents quite regularly, that when our son was born, he screamed for 20 hours out of 24 and only slept for 10 minutes at a time. And so I was home by myself with the two kids. You were at work. And I would sit there and go, that's, you know, people talk about one day at a time. Well, there were times when one day at a time was way too much. So 1 hour at a time. But you know what? There were times where 1 minute at a time was all I could get through. And I would sit on a football, bouncing a screaming baby, just going, I just need to make it through this 1 minute and then I'll be fine. And then that minute was over and I just need to make it through the next minute. And if I can make it through the next minute, I'm going to be okay. We can do this. And then eventually you came home from work. So, and I got to go to work. But it's the same kind of thing here, that if you're struggling, then you can break it down. So what are we doing to get through the month of April? So we know I'm assuming at the moment, we know that Australia is going to be in the situation of social isolation for at least the month of April.
Yeah.
So what can we do to get through the month of April? If that feels too much to think about the whole month of April, well, what can I do between now and Easter? What can I put in place to keep me healthy from now until Easter? What can I do to try and what supports can I put in place, or how can I find half an hour a day to be outside between now and Easter? If that's really difficult, what am I going to do between now and, you know, now and tomorrow? What can I do for the next 24 hours? What can I do for the next hour? What can I do for the next 10 minutes? What do I need to do right now? What can I focus on now? Rather than it just seeming really big. Because 6 months, and then today I heard something that said it could be 12 months or 18 months, which I actually think was just more of the whole fear-mongering thing. But anyway, you know, the idea of this kind of unknown going on for a long period of time is really difficult. But if we're just focusing on a small chunk of time, it's more manageable.
Yeah.
And that's the same advice that I give for breaking down painting your army. You don't have to look at the whole 2,500 points at the same time. Just focus on painting the Harlequin's legs. And if you can do that, then you can work on the torsos, you know, that kind of thing. It's the same thing. Just look at that one particular unit. What are you going to do for that one unit? What do you need to work on?
I will admit,
what do you need to?
I'm actually looking at this Harlequin army now. For the past how many years, I've essentially batch painted.
Yeah.
I've painted them in huge swathes of the same colour.
And then you hate it and you never want to do that again.
Yep. So for these 36 Harlequins that are a third of the way through assembly, that I actually had to put all of the legs into a plastic cup that sat beside me because I had to set the laptop and everything back up for recording. Mm. My plan is to actually paint them one at a time because it'll let me customise them and do them each, because they're Harlequins. They should be a little bit different each. And go back to the way I was taught to paint way back when I'm not...
And hopefully you'll find that enjoyable as well.
When I'm not cutting corners to try and get an army done.
Because you've left it to the last minute and, yeah.
You had to go there. Anyway, so I'm hoping that I can go back to doing some cool Harlequin colour schemes and mixing and matching the way they look and the way they're, you know, whether you use the motley and all those other different bits and pieces on the standard ones, and then work up to doing some of the characters with some of the fancy effects and enjoying the process rather than forcing the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then if the airbrush is coming, well, then I'm running out of excuses again. So,
mm-hmm.
So wherever you are through this whole thing, hopefully you keep listening to us, and we're more than happy to continue producing episodes as long as we've got topics. If you have any suggestions for topics you want us to cover while we're all stuck in our houses.
I had suggestions. My suggestions for tonight's episode were supposed to be about deck building and about secondaries for ITC.
And they'll both...
Admittedly, someone else suggested those. I just happened to write them down.
And they'll both come. But, I've now found all the intros and everything for those.
Awesome. Yeah, so our intention is not to focus
no,
on this,
but I... But like I said to you tonight,
yeah.
I know there's a few people out there who will be struggling a little bit at the moment
mm-hmm.
with how everything's changed. So I thought it was important that we kind of said that's okay to be struggling, but you also need to kind of address that you are and then hopefully get the help and assistance you need to deal with it.
Yeah. And one thing that always comes up for me is, and I keep going back to social media because I've been spending clearly way too much time on it. But there's a post going around at the moment that's comparing what we're experiencing now to what people experienced in World War II.
Oh, like the rationing and the sending kids away and all that sort of stuff during the Blitz and whatnot.
Yeah. So I find that really frustrating because just because somebody had it worse, that doesn't actually diminish what we're going through at the moment. Just because somebody somewhere is experiencing a harsher reality than we do doesn't take anything away from the reality that we're experiencing at the moment.
Mm.
And I think that it's really healthy to maintain perspective and to go, this too shall pass. And it's really important to remember that this is not going to last forever and that there are positives and that, you know, so it's really useful to go, you know what, there are people who live in concentration camps and there are people, not concentration camps, they live in refugee camps. I'm very different, sorry.
Yeah.
There are people who live in really different circumstances that we do and we are still living in a first world country. We still have access to good food. We've still got sanitation. We've still got clean running water. We've still got the ability to go outside and to exercise and to communicate with the people that we want to in ways that we luckily have available to us now that weren't available to us.
I was just thinking, if you wind the clock back 30 years,
mm-hmm.
then, well, shit.
Well, yeah.
Like...
And even 10 years ago... Okay, let's go back 20 years ago.
Yeah, not as young as you think you are.
Well, no, I can't quite work out when video, like FaceTime and stuff like that, was more popular.
Well, before, when you actually talk about like the internet not being a thing until like the very late 90s.
Yeah, that's it.
Anytime pre-2000
yeah.
is going to be a challenge.
Yeah. And I know when we first moved out to Australia, my mum would write to her dad and it was airmail letters that would take a week to get from here to the UK and back again.
But I even remember when you and I were in the UK and you had to pick specific times to make calls because it was like $1 a minute or whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot has changed in the past 20 years, less than 20 years, 15 years.
I mean, last weekend I accidentally, we downloaded the House Party app, which I told you I'm technologically illiterate. So I tried to invite somebody to a little group video thing that we had going on, but accidentally instead I crashed their little party. So I then ended up being on a video chat with my cousin's partner and his brother, who were both still in bed, not with each other. But they were in bed chatting to each other. And I was like, oh God. But you know, over the weekend we talked, we had face-to-face chats with people who were in the UK and WhatsApp messages with them all the time. Yeah, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, that certainly wasn't something that we did.
Even 15 might be a stretch.
Well, that's what I was thinking, but I've lost track of time.
Yeah.
So, yes, maintaining perspective is really useful, but at the same time, don't undermine what we're actually going through.
Yeah.
And it's not just about that, you know, it's not just about the fact that people are unable to go about life as they normally would or restricted to where they can go or when they can go and who they can see. It's about all the uncertainty. And we are living and experiencing trauma. And that people's concept of what trauma is can be really different and vary significantly.
Yeah.
But this is a really unsettling time for people. And just because it's not as bad as having to send your kids to a random family in the country so that you don't get bombed out of your house and having to play cards by candlelight with blackout curtains up, just because it's not that doesn't mean that this isn't still really impacting on us.
Absolutely.
Right. That's not a positive note to end on.
No, I tried. And then you added.
I know, but it was on my notes. I hadn't said it and I thought it was a good segue into it, so... I don't have any positives left on my nose. Help me out here. Oh, here's one. Find lightness and humour every day.
Okay. You got anything to add to that?
No, that's all I've got.
Well, at least you've got a few lines.
Find lightness. Here's some examples of lightness and humour. Have you seen the video? You're going to have to help me out here.
Okay.
The video of is he Russian? The Russian chili guy and the American chili guy where they eat the Carolina Reaper and he pulls on his ears. Stupid YouTube videos like that. You know, find humour.
Look, we might have a quick chat about that in the outro to the topic because I'll see if I can find the links to put them in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But for now, look after yourselves. Don't feel pressured into completing any hobby project you have or have not got on the go.
But at the same time, find freedom to do it.
But if you do, yeah, exactly. So... look after yourselves, look after each other, and we will all be back to doing what we do soon enough.
And this will all just be a memory.
So we'll wrap up here and we'll be back to chat some slightly off-topic stuff in just a second.
This has all been off-topic.
So humour. Have to find humour.
Mm.
So you're talking about the Hot Ones episode with Chili Klaus.
Yes. He's not Russian.
No. I don't think so.
Switzerland, Sweden?
I want to say he's somewhere Nordic.
Mm.
The reason that it's entertaining for us on a number of fronts is that we have been growing chilies in our house.
Mm.
And I recently got hold of some Carolina Reapers.
Oh, it was funny before we got the Carolina Reapers. It was,
but I never really intended to get Carolina Reapers, and then I saw them in the local supermarket and went, I have to buy some.
I'd been wanting them because I want to make the Carolina Reaper chocolate.
Oh, the super spicy chocolate. Mm. So we might.
But if that goes in my food dehydrator, I'm never going to be able to use it for anything again.
So that is something that we have been taking away, is we've been finding some of these other little activities that I like chili sauce and...
Well, yeah, and I like making it. You like eating it.
I quite enjoy the process of the two of us making it. So it's given us a hobby that we can do together.
Yeah.
So you
other
like,
than OPSEC.
Well, you like the garden bit. I like the cooking bit with you. And then I like the eating bit. So you get parts one it's and two, and I get parts two and three.
Yeah.
The other one I wanted to talk about very quickly is give a shout out to Tabletop Tactics. Lawrence was doing a live stream on YouTube a couple of days back. And I've had more than one person send me this now going, oh my God, you got a shout out. And I went, oh, okay, cool. It was a 2-hour video and I had no idea where it was. So while I was sat in a waiting room killing time, I sat listening to Lawrence chat about 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And about halfway through, and I didn't even look at the timestamp, and I probably should have, he gets asked about competitive play and he's talking about how he's a narrative player and how the top end competitive players aren't like the stereotype seems to be, and you know, all the games he's played at that level are really good. And then someone makes a comment about his favourite game and I get the shout out.
Aww.
So that was lovely. So yeah, he
I think that's just because you're the biggest suck up.
I haven't spoken to him in a little while now actually. But, yeah, that was a nice impromptu shout-out because we at Objective Secure got a shout-out for that as well. So go and check out Tabletop Tactics. They do a bunch of videos. And from what I gather, Lawrence got married tail end of last year.
Hmm.
But in the video, he's confirmed that two of the guys who he employs live with him at the moment. So they're still recording games and battle reports and stuff, which is great. But he in the live stream, he makes a comment going, yeah, I certainly didn't expect my first year of marriage to have
two roommates. two other
guys living with us still doing this stuff. So, yeah, we hope that everyone over in England and wherever you are in the world is finding ways of lightening your mood and enjoying the positives of whatever situation you find yourself in, because the look on his face certainly said more than just, yeah, they're still living with me. Yep. It's not what I was expecting, but yep, here we are. So, that was entertaining for me. And that's actually been something I've been interested in, is what sort of regularity of podcasts. I know that there's a few of them that have literally closed down for a period of time because there's no tournaments happening and their coverage is all about tournaments.
Yeah.
40K Stat Center being the best example I could come up with. Mm. I know Independent Characters are still producing content. Splinter Mind, which I was on recently, is still producing content as well. So... you can still get a hobby fix in some way, shape or form, and you can still listen to...
And something that we've talked about for the last 5 years is that hobby is more than just going to events.
Yeah.
So now, I guess, since you can't go to events, it's time to look at the other elements of hobby.
I've seen a lot of people buying Tabletop Simulator as well.
Yeah.
And it's one that I kind of looked at and went, oh, mate,
look,
it's not the same.
It's not the same, and I did actually consider it. Was as I was thinking about for this podcast today, I was kind of going, oh, maybe we should look at seeing whether or not we could do like a league type event where, you know, I think Crags do them quite regularly, and yeah, X number of people are in the event and you have to play against. Yeah. You know, you've got to play sometime within the week, you've got to play your opponent.
Yeah, like a lot of the Blood Bowl leagues and things.
Yeah. 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 So I did kind of wonder, is that something that we should look into. I suppose because of the situation that we're in at the moment, it seems like using something like the Tabletop Simulator seems like a really good alternative. What I'm concerned about is one of the things I love about the events that we run, or tabletop gaming in in general is that it does actually involve person-to-person contact.
Yeah.
And what I wouldn't want to see is, as a result of this, people not going out and people not coming back to events and not going back to clubs because they've got used to just playing over the internet and they don't need to go out anymore.
Well, it certainly takes away every aspect of the hobby other than the actual gameplay itself. And even then, it's a, not a shadow, but it's a shade of itself. It's not the same as it actually is on the table.
Hmm.
You know, there's too many variables that get lost in the translation to a computer game. But it's a, you know, I've seen it done with Infinity. I've seen it done with a few different games. And it certainly works well with board gaming because you've got hex grids or you've got, you know, those sorts of things. But for fluid tabletop, I don't know it's necessarily a good replacement. Speaking of board games, we're hopefully, now that Officio Assassinorium Execution Force is now all fully painted, we're hopefully going to try some live streaming of that over the next couple of days and get some people involved to play as one of the four assassins.
We are going to try first with just us.
Yes. So our son and I painted the miniatures for the game, and he and I have run through it once and got a bunch of stuff wrong, and I've since gone to the internet and tried to figure out what I did wrong, and we've since learnt. So we'll run it through again, and then we'll be hopefully going to be live streaming some of the games where we can get some participation from players.
Yeah.
I was considering it just being chat-based, where we set it up, put the camera in place with him playing the assassins, with the community offering comments in the chat to say,
move this here,
move this, move that there. I also really like the idea of trying to get one of the, it's normally used for RPGs, where you get everyone on camera and you can see each other while playing, and then you can set it up so one camera is the dominant camera.
Yeah.
So that I would do that and then stream that entire thing so that the table would be shown to all the players so they could see what was going on, and then everyone could follow along and watch. So
yeah, that's going to involve having to learn a whole heap of different software.
No, no, it's not. It's all done online. It's all one login.
Okay.
So I've actually been looking at it to host an RPG in the same vein so we can stream RPG games. So I'm hopeful that that actually will work, and then we can play some Assassinorium, and then I've got Overkill, Genestealer Cult. Versus the Death Watch, the Overkill box game's half painted. I've just got to get the Death Watch done. And obviously Space Hulk's in the back end as well. So we've got a few different board games. If this keeps going, we'll try and get a few of those box games painted and get some virtual live gaming. And if you have any thoughts or suggestions on anything you'd like to see, we've been talking about doing it with some of the board games as well. We might start with some of these ones that... you know, they're more miniatures based than board games. But in the meantime, I think that's it. I think we covered everything.
Yeah.
So stay safe wherever you are.
The only other tip that I had was try and gain some kind of control. And if there is something that you have control over, trying to find a way to say control the shit out of it, but I can't find another way to say it, so I'm just going to go with that. So that could be, you know, I've seen some amazing pictures of ways that people have organized their paint stations, or you know, but just finding some area where you can have some kind of control.
I saw someone 3D print a
brush. I can't get over that
today.
You know, they're like $2 at Bunnings.
Yeah, but the irony is he was 3D printing it so he could clean his, it was a fine brush, so he could clean his 3D printer. So I thought that was quite neat. But you're right. If you can take control of part of what's going on in your world, it'll help you ground yourself and feel a bit more like yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. If you have any suggestions,
sorry, I was just thinking. I'm doing a walking meditation thing for work. I was just thinking about doing some sort of walking meditation thing for OBSEC where you. Can you feel your giant space marine boots landing on the earth?
Was it ASMR or A?
No, it's not that.
Whatever.
It is not that. And you're talking about EMDR.
Oh, whatever it is.
Definitely not that.
Whatever it is, you know what I mean. All right, I think we're done for this episode.
Come up with a new acronym for ASMR.
I still have to go and edit this thing, so we're going to wrap it here.
Okay, just so people who are listening to it, if you made it all the way here, he's not editing anything. He's just plugging the three bits together.
No, I've still got to like level, do all the audio levels and all the other bits and pieces and then convert it to a YouTube video because people want it on YouTube as well. So I've got an hour or so's worth at least in front of me.
Ah, sucks to be you.
Thanks.
No problem. Just think, it'll give you something you can have control over.
While it's thinking, I'm going to be building Harlequin torsos.
Awesome.
I did an army list today for them.
Awesome. How many times do you think that'll change by the time until you put this out? No,
so this is the good part about it because I put out a call for some voice acting to be done.
I remember.
So most of that's almost together now, so I can splice that together and turn it into the intro for that episode.
Right.
Because I want to talk Harlequins in an episode coming up, and it'll tie in nicely now if we're getting it in White Dwarf, so I'll be able to use it as the intro for that episode.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Harlequin Codex only has like 9 or 8 data sheets, the army builds aren't exactly varied because you only have 2 HQs, 2 elites, 1 troop, 1 fast, and 1 heavy support choice, and 1 transport.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're limited to 3 of any one thing, if you're going to take heavy support, you've only got 1 choice and you're going to take 3 of it. So the opportunities for variation are pretty low. So when I do a pure Harlequin army, the variations are pretty low because there's only so much you can do with them. Although I did realize today, if I want to run them as an Ari, I did a conversion of a solitaire that sat up here beside me with a giant cape billowing in the breeze and whatnot. I can't use him in an Ari.
Aww.
So I'm trying to figure out if I put him in an auxiliary detachment for -1 command point, then I can put him in the army. Because I thought, I'll just put him into a vanguard or into another detachment. That'll work just fine. Until I realized I couldn't do that because I'd used all my slots in the brigade, so I have nothing that's not hit the rule of 3 already. So he'll have to go in as an auxiliary just because he looks cool. So
I think my quote for my theme for the night is sucks to be you.
No, your theme for the night is something that's already been referenced on multiple occasions, and I'm going to leave that there. So we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time, but in the meantime, you'll see us live at the very least in a week's time.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully more often than that once we get all these game plans sorted.
Yep. Have you finished?
I'm done.
Oh, wow. Well, in whatever form your gaming may look like at the moment, happy gaming, everyone.
You've been listening to the Objective Secured podcast. If you'd like to get in touch, you can visit our website, objectivesecured.com.au. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/objectivesecured, or you can email us, obsec@optusnet.com.au. Thanks for listening.